Turn with me now to Psalm 11. Psalm 11, continuing our series in the Psalms, which goes on for the next few weeks. And then we have a break in the autumn and we'll look at the letter, the first letter to Timothy that Paul wrote. So Psalm 11, and the title of the sermon is God Tests. Faith in the Lord's Righteousness. This is one of David's Psalms. This is what he says. In the Lord I put my trust. How can you say to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For look, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow on the string, that they may shoot secretly at the upright in heart. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids test the sons of men. The Lord tests the righteous, but the wicked and the one who loves violence, his soul hates. Upon the wicked he will rain coals, fire and brimstone and a burning wind shall be the portion of their cup. For the Lord is righteous. He loves righteousness. His countenance beholds the upright. Well, it's difficult to determine the historical background to this psalm because David was often in danger. He spent 10 years of his life on the run, hiding from King Saul, who was trying to kill him. And he was also spent time hiding during the rebellion of his son Absalom. However, what we do know is that during the crises that David went through, as he certainly describes here, he did not run away, but he remained strong and he trusted in God. And so David passed the test that God allowed to come into his life. So whatever crisis we might face in our lives, this psalm teaches us that we must choose between two things. We can choose to be afraid, and this is walking by sight, or we can choose to trust God, this is walking by faith. And it's clear that in this psalm David chose to walk by faith. Let us discover the challenges that David faced when he decided not to be afraid, but to choose to trust God in his crisis. So turn with me first of all to verses 1 to 3. David's faith in God was attacked. The attack upon David's faith came through what others said to him. David doesn't tell us who these people are. They may have been his friends or they may have been his enemies. We don't know. However, what we do know is that the real enemy of our faith, if you're a Christian, is Satan. And it is Satan who attacks our faith in God. And sometimes even our friends can unknowingly be an instrument in Satan's hands. Attacks come from either within our minds or from what people say to us. So let us note here in verse 1 to 3 how David's faith was attacked. In verse 1, it came from discouragement. David was attacked in the form of discouragement. David was told by someone to run away. The illustration given was to flee like a frightened little bird to some high mountain to escape the problem that he was facing. So running away from any problems in the Christian life should never be a choice if we want to walk by faith and trust God. Now, one of Satan's weapons comes in the form of discouragement. However, we will notice in a moment from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 13 to 17, that there is no piece of armor for the back of our bodies. When we're running away, we could be attacked from behind. But when the armor, when we're told to put on our spiritual armor, everything is from the front. So we stand and face the enemy who attacks us, spiritually speaking. So God does not expect his children to retreat from the battle, exposing our backs to the enemy. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 13 to 17. And in here, Paul teaches the church at Ephesus how to defend themselves against the attacks of Satan. Spiritual defense, as this is what he's talking about. And Ephesians chapter 6, verses 13 says, "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day." So to stand firm. "And having done all, to stand." Repetition important. "Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." So it's important that we briefly go through these pieces of spiritual armor that we will need when Satan attacks us, especially through discouragement. The first thing you'll notice is truth. Notice that truth is the first piece of spiritual armor to put on. Now, the reason for this is that the devil is a liar and he is the father of lies. John chapter 8, verses 44 says, "You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it." So Satan never speaks the truth. Therefore, to break Satan's power, we need to know the truth about God's word and what God's word says in any given situation. John 8, 31 to 32, "Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, 'If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free.'" So truth destroys Satan's lies. Satan's power is in his lie. And if you present him the truth, you will destroy his lie. Satan will attack your identity in Christ more than anything else. This is who you are as a Christian. And that is discouraging, and that's why he does it. Therefore, you need to read what the Bible says about you and not what Satan says about you. How you view yourself in Christ can often affect your behavior as a Christian. Did you know that if you are a Christian today, then you are the light of the world? Turn with me to Matthew chapter 5 and verses 14. It says, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden." Now turn with me to John chapter 8, verses 12. "Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, 'I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life.'" So there is no need for Christians to walk in darkness or be discouraged, because we are the light of the world. If you're a Christian today, we are the only hope for the world. We have the message of salvation. If anyone is interested, we can lead them to eternal life through Jesus Christ. How wonderful is that? We live in a world of great discouragement, but we have the truth about Jesus Christ. Now, I've only highlighted one aspect of our identity in Christ, but there are at least 20 other encouragements. In fact, if you look at the sheet, there's 27 encouragements of our identity in Christ. So if you have the written copy, or you can download it for the website, And you can go through those lists as often as you like, especially when you get discouraged. It's not on the translation, so the translator will have to stop now. But I'll just tell you a brief story about these verses. About maybe 20 years ago, at least 20 years ago, I met up, one of our friends was a lecturer, a professor in Edinburgh University, and he had got very depressed and very discouraged. And so I gave him a book, and these verses were on the back, and I said, read these verses every day for a month. And he read them every day for a month, and he was released from his depression. He was one step away going into a mental hospital, and it was his identity in Christ that was attacked. And as he understood who he was in Christ, he was released from his depression. So it really is a powerful thing to know who you are in the Lord Jesus Christ. So do meditate on those verses. So that's the first piece of spiritual armor, is truth. Knowing what God's word says about you in any given situation is very important. Listen to what God says and not what Satan says. The next piece of spiritual armor, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 14, is to put on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, in Roman armor, the breastplate covered the main organs of the body. It especially covered the heart, the seat of our emotions. So if you didn't have this armor, then any enemy arrow or sword would kill you very easily. Now, the righteousness that protects our lives comes from Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ gives us his righteousness when we believe in him. It's not ours, it's the righteousness that comes from Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For he made him who knew no sin," that's talking about Jesus Christ, "to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." Therefore, to remain protected from Satan in our righteousness, we must always confess our sins and put them under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ died for all of our sins. And to be protected in our righteousness, we must confess all of our sins, put them under the blood of Jesus. Now, Satan can gain a foothold in our lives if there's any unconfessed sin, because Satan is the accuser towards Christians. If everything is confessed to God, he forgives us through Jesus and we stay protected. That's the breastplate of righteousness. And the third piece of armor, it mentions in verse 15, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, we're talking about feet and shoes now. Now, the Roman soldiers' feet had sandals, and they consisted of three layers of leather with straps to secure the leather to the foot. And they often had hobnails sticking out from the bottom in the soles in order to get a good grip on the ground. And Roman soldiers mainly walked everywhere, and their sandals were important, and they were a foundation, a good strong foothold for all they did in battle. Now, the gospel message it mentions there is the foundation of our faith. Satan is always busy trying to undermine, dilute, and distract us from the core of our faith. We need to make sure that we fully understand the gospel of grace. Other aspects of Bible truth are important, but the gospel is the most important. We need to understand fully the gospel message as Christians, and that will be our protection. The fourth piece of armor, it says, above all, taking the shield of faith, which will be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. Now, this is very simple, the shield of faith. The shield of faith is believing what God's word says about you. So this is your shield of faith, the Bible, and not what Satan might say in your mind or through other people. So when we believe by faith, it's not blind faith. Our faith is based upon the facts that are contained in the Bible. So this is your shield of faith. And the fifth piece of armor is the helmet of salvation. The Roman helmet protects the head of the soldier, and our mind needs protecting. Everything goes through our mind. If Satan can influence your mind, then later it will involve an influence upon your behavior. Our minds need to be protected, and if we protect our minds, then it should result in better behavior as Christians. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. In other words, our thought patterns can be an entrance for Satan. If Satan can influence our mind, then it will not be long before we're doing wrong things. There is nothing more discouraging for a Christian than to be deceived by Satan and follow a pathway that he leads. The sixth piece of armor is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We're told that God's Word can be used to protect us from Satan, and this is the method that Jesus used. In Matthew chapter 4, Jesus was tempted by Satan three times, and each time he used the Word of God to protect himself, and he quoted it. God's Word is a great protection against Satan. Please use it, quote it aloud to yourself if necessary. Encourage yourself in quoting God's word. So that's the first thing that David tells us in the psalm, that he was discouraged, but he put his faith and trust in God. And also, David was attacked in the form of a threat. Verse 2, for look, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow on the string, that they may shoot up secretly at the upright in heart. When Satan can't discourage us, he sometimes comes like a roaring lion to frighten us. Satan is like a bee without a sting. He can make a lot of noise, but he cannot destroy the righteous. God's people who are secure in Jesus Christ eternally cannot be destroyed. And the reference to the wicked, mentioned in verse 2, are the godless people who do not put their faith and trust in God. David appears to have been threatened with violence by some people, and he's being intimidated, but he's not running away. He's trusting in God. And then in verse 3, David was attacked with an attempt to destroy his foundational truth. Verse 3 says, if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? David was God's chosen king. Saul had been rejected by God, and Absalom was self-appointed. God did not choose Absalom. If David ran away from his chosen position, then what would happen to the righteous? People who followed God's will and supported David. Certainly, they would be very discouraged. And this is why biblical truth must be passed on from generation to generation. If we don't, then the next generation will turn their backs upon God. 2 Timothy 2 verses 1 to 2 says, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you've heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Now, unfortunately today, there are many professing believers in Jesus who are drifting away from the foundations of the Christian faith. And it's our job as believers to make sure that we pass on the foundations of biblical truth to the next generation. So David was attacked with an attempt to destroy his foundational truth in who he was as God's chosen king. Secondly, David's faith in God was secure because it was tested. Verses 4 and 5. In verses 4 and 5, we're told that God's eyes are upon his people and that he tests the righteous. The word test or try that is used in verse 4 carries the idea of testing metals by fire to find out their strength. Jeremiah chapter 17 verses 10 says, I, the Lord, search the heart, test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. Now, God tests the righteous to to bring out the best in them. Satan tempts to bring out the worst in the righteous people. So when we trust the Lord in the difficult times of life, our trials work for us and not against us. Let me just read important truth from 2 Corinthians 4, 7 to 18. I'm reading it in the New Living Translation, so it's very simple to understand, but it's wonderful truth. It says here, we now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is from God and not ourselves. We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We're hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we're not destroyed. Through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies. Yes, we live under constant danger of death because we serve Jesus, so that the life of Jesus will be evident in our dying bodies. So we live in the face of death, but this has resulted in eternal life for you. But we continue to preach because we have the same kind of faith the psalmist had when he said, I believe in God, so I spoke. We know that God, who raised the Lord Jesus, will also raise us with Jesus and present us to himself together with you. All of this is for your benefit, and God's grace reaches more and more people. There will be great thanksgiving, and God will receive more and more glory. That is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long, yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. Now, Noah was tested by God to build an ark to protect his family from the flood. But the earth had never seen rain, and the people mocked, but Noah had faith in God. Abraham was tested by God when God asked him to sacrifice his one and only son, Isaac. Abraham passed the test of heart obedience and was not afraid to sacrifice his son. It was just a test that God put him through. How about us? What tests has God put us through in life? How did we get on? Did we run away or did we trust God? Now, I hope that we trusted God in the trial, and then if we did, our faith would have been strengthened by God. Never look upon a test as a negative thing. God loves us and is wanting us to grow in our experience as secure believers. When God has tested us, he usually has a plan to use us for some purpose. It was about, just came to mind when I was preparing this, about 20 years ago, a pastor of a nearby church to mine in London lost his wife in only a week. She had a headache, ended up in hospital, and a week later he died. The pastor was about 40 years old with a young family. I visited him to support him at his home, and he said to me, the first thing he said to me, he said, Alistair, I think this is a test from God. He said, up to now in my ministry, I don't think God has really tested me. Later, he remarried and had another daughter. And it was a very hard test for this pastor to go through, but he passed the test, and He continued in ministry as a pastor, although he moved to another church. And he's had a very effective ministry for God. So it wasn't a nice thing to have happened, but he saw it in a positive way, and God used it for his glory. So thirdly and finally, in verses 5 to 6, we're told that David had faith in God's judgment for the wicked. We're told in verse 5 that God hates people who love violence. If you love violence here today, then God hates you. Sorry about that, but that's what God's word says. In verse 6, we're told that God will rain down coals, fire and brimstone, and a burning wind upon wicked people. Now, we may think that it's a bit hard for David to say these things about God's judgment. We may even think that God's judgment is too harsh. However, once we've experienced the violence that comes from evil people, we may think a little differently. Violence against God's people is an attack against God himself. Never forget that. If you are a believer in Christ and you are physically attacked, that attack comes upon God himself. And God will defend his people, and he'll bring judgment to those who exercise violence towards them. So all around the world today, Christians are persecuted. Churches are destroyed, and Christians' homes are burnt. And last week we discovered in Nigeria 200 Christian believers were killed for no other reason than the fact that they're Christians. These things are done by violent men. And one day, their works will be judged. And David had faith in God and his timing of that judgment. And we too need to trust God to judge the wicked according to his timescale. Let's bow our heads now and come to prayer. Let's pray.